You were both in
Fight the Fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we are going through the Acts of the Apostles, the author, Luke, continuing his chronicle of a sort from the Gospel according to Luke. We have jumped into Acts, and we're in chapter 2, about verse 22, "Ye men of Israel." And of course, this is Peter speaking, as recorded by Luke here. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, loosed the pains of death." Now, here we are. It's the 50th day. This is Pentecost. A mere 10 days at being here recorded from, probably not even 10 days if we're going 50 days. If we're at Pentecost, then we would have been the Passover. So they would have seen Yahshua perhaps that week. So he had just ascended up because he was with them for 40 days. And if this is the 50th day being Pentecost, well, we know that it hadn't even been 10 days since they've seen him, because he was crucified right after Passover during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it says, Peter continues, "By the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken him, by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So all of these things are still very recent in Jerusalem too. "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death." So many of the people there, you know, not just the 120 disciples, including or in addition to the apostles, but there are a lot of other people. You have the men, the women, the children, and bystanders, passerbys, whoever would have seen the Messiah on occasion too. So all these people know these things are true. They know that man was crucified. Many of them saw him die with their own eyes. And then they saw the same man, and people are going, yeah, this is that. This is that man that was crucified. He raised from the dead. All the miracles, people, you know, first you have the miracles and signs and wonders, then the guy raises from the dead, and he's hanging out there for 40 days. So this is all very fresh at the time this is going on at Pentecost here, when Peter is standing up here and speaking these words. He says, "Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It was not possible that he could be holden. Yes, it was possible for him to die because he was a man, but it was not possible for death to hold him, because he had never sinned and the wages of sin is death. And if you have not sin, you have not earned death. So how could death keep you? So he was loosed, as it says. He was not holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Messiah, Christ, to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. They said, I'm a witness, not just these 12 here, not just the 120, but there are thousands of witnesses. And he says, he's explaining to them these things that they have seen with their own eyes to them. This Jesus, this Yahushua, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And so we have our Messiah at the right hand of God, even till this day, at the right hand of the Father, till he makes his enemies his footstool. At the same time, he is building a kingdom that will last forever. At the same time that he's making his enemies his footstool. So until thy foes, I make thy foes thy footstool. Peter continues, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he's saying to them, to Israel, that Yahushua whom you crucified is both Messiah, is both Lord and Messiah. He has made him. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahushua, the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall have the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yeah, the promise is to all that he calls. And I like the verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And we think about that for a minute. We meditate on that. And what does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, even to all. So we get a clue here as to who's called. All. The promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I think the call goes out. I think everyone hears the call that's able to. So that's the many. And the few that can't understand the call, so let's say you're unborn in the womb, or you're a child without understanding, or perhaps you're incompetent because you're retarded. So those wouldn't be included in the many. But who's going to answer the call? That's the question. Will you answer the call? Have you answered the call? He's calling you to a life of righteousness in his kingdom. He's calling you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that you might obtain that eternal life, that you might obtain that prize. And he's calling you to endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, so that when the end of your mortality comes, that you will be in his kingdom and that you will remain in his kingdom forever. Because if you don't endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, then you will not be in his kingdom forever. So he's calling. Will you answer the call? That's the question. So the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself from those that are going to damnation. Save yourself from that fate of not being in his kingdom when your mortality ends and having no hope. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And there's an old English word. Nobody says untoward anymore. And it says stained or blemished, defective, disgraceful, spotted. Stained or blemished. Save yourself from this disgraceful generation. We live in a disgraceful generation. Who could deny it? Even those that are disgraceful won't deny that this is a disgraceful generation. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So there's a distinction there. Yeah, some didn't gladly receive his word, but those that did gladly receive his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, boom, you know. I mean, they already had thousands there. I mean, of course, you had the apostles, you had the 120 disciples that Yahshua had made there that were part of his ministry. He had a huge ministry in Israel. You know, a lot of people think it's just the Messiah in a ragtag troop of 12 men. But no, he had disciples. He had a ministry. There were people, you know, just like you have ministries today where everyone has a job and a duty and something to do. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had a need. And no, this is not communism, for many people like to go here and communism is force. There is no force here. These people were willingly, of their own free will, giving and redistributing their wealth as every man had need. And these were different days too, because these were in the days where the time they were preparing not to set down roots in Judea and Jerusalem and about the land, the Holy Land there, the land of Israel. They were not about setting down roots. They were looking forward to the prophecy and they were getting ready to flee. I mean, if you had received a prophecy from the Messiah and you were sure that it was the Messiah speaking to you, and he who is saying to you that the time is coming and it's very soon, the desolations are determined for Jerusalem. The abomination has taken place, the abomination which maketh desolate. And national Israel, by their national religion and their leaders, are continuing the abomination. And I'm going to come in here, and not one stone is going to be left upon another in the city. And everyone, and whoever isn't taken captive into all nations is going to be slain by the swords. Sword. Now, what kind of plans would you be making under those kind, with that kind of future in mind? Well, yes. You wouldn't be putting down roots. You would be plucking up the roots. You wouldn't be buying more property and planting vineyards. You would be selling the properties and selling the vineyards, because you know that you're going to have to move when the word comes, when the sign comes. You're waiting for the sign. So this is the time that they're living in. It's not the time we're living in. Perhaps it is, but you know what? I haven't got the word yet. I'm ready. If he comes and the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to get up, I want you to be ready to move, well, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up, I'm going to be ready to move, and I'm going to move wherever he tells me to move. But this is then, so this is not a mandate for communism or force of any matter, because nobody is forced. Here he says, everyone, what was it? Let's see. They that gladly received his word were baptized. They didn't pull out their swords and their guns and say, convert or die. You know, that's the gospel according to communism. That's the gospel according, you know, that's the kingdom of heaven for Islam. You know, that's the Catholic, that's the Vatican Inquisition. That's not the Heavenly Father's way. We see that through history. And where we see that in history, you know, and all the skeptics, unbelievers, atheists, they like to point to that. But that's not God's way. It says here, they that gladly received his word were baptized. There's no convert or die. There's no inquisition, because there is no force in the kingdom of God. It's voluntary. And those were the times they were living in. A time that necessitated not putting down roots and tearing up the roots that you had, the things that attached you to the land. And you know, the Heavenly Father was gracious. He gave the people nearly 40 years to prepare for their departure from national Israel. For his faithful people who would receive his prophecies, the prophecies from his own tongue. So that's the kind of time they were living in, where it was a time to pluck up, a time to distribute, a time to get ready to move, not to plant an inheritance, a permanent inheritance in the land for your children's children. Perhaps it was a time to prepare for an inheritance for your children's children in another land, because you were faithful and you believed the prophecies, and that's the days they were in. So this is not a mandate for communism. Communism is antithetical to the kingdom of God, because they use force, just like the Inquisition, just like Islam. They force people into their idea of the kingdom of God, but it is not. Because the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So fear came upon every soul, and because many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. You know, and perhaps we'll have a time too. Perhaps the time is coming in America. Perhaps the time is coming in this century where we'll see signs and miracles and wonders. But it will be a time not like the time that we've experienced in the past, but it will be a time like we're reading about now in the scripture, where great changes are coming, and people, the faithful, need to understand that the times they're living in are going to be different. A time of turmoil, a time of great change, a time where they have to flee. That's the time that they were living in. That's what you call reading the scripture in context, not only in context of the text, but in context of the time in which it was written. And yes, some of the things that were said then apply to us now, but there are some things that are time specific, and we need to read them in the context of the time, of the era in which they were written. So they sold their possessions, their goods, they parted them to all men as everyone had need, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so who were the such as who should be saved? Those were the faithful to the Heavenly Father. They were faithful before. The signs confirmed to them that this was right, that this is what they should do. And of course, then the word confirmed that they were doing the right thing by following the Messiah. And so I feel the need here to emphasize at this point the posterity of the obedient versus the posterity, the disobedient. There are many people out there, some Gentiles call themselves Jews that are not, and they change their names and they start wearing Jewish garb and speaking every other word in Hebrew and stuff like that. And so they proclaim to be, because somehow being Jewish, they can be a greater teacher and more people will follow them, and it gives them more authority and authenticity. And that's the word I was looking for, authenticity, to authenticate the works of the Messiah, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, to authenticate the works of the apostles and the disciples of the Messiah in this time that we're reading about now in Acts here, to authenticate who they were and their message. There were signs and wonders. And there may come a time when our words need to be authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles. And I would not doubt that there are instances, not very many, because like I said, I haven't seen any. I've heard about some, and I don't disbelieve some of them, perhaps because the Heavenly Father needed to authenticate the word by whatever prophet he was working through at that time. And the time may come and will, I'm sure it will come in the future. And I'm sure that there are times throughout history, and perhaps even now in certain places on planet Earth, where the Heavenly Father does authenticate a message by miracles and signs and wonders. So that's the point I was trying to get across there, and I hope I got that across clearly to everyone. But there are those who say that the Jews, you know, those people that over in Israel, Sephardic, Ashkenazim, whatever they're called, that they are the chosen people of God. But who are these people that I'm reading about here? Aren't they the chosen people of God? And are we to say that those who didn't believe the Messiah were the chosen people of God? The ones that were killed by the edge of the sword and sold into every nation? Something to think about there. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Down. fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for His people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm going to continue my rant here because I think this is an important point. This is a doctrine which has overtaken the corporate church and most of Christianity, that the Jews, and they don't even make a distinction between Sephardic, Ashkenazim, anything, whether they're actually literally descendants of Abraham, although I believe that I would be surprised if anyone can come up with a genealogy for the last 2,000 years. Either that or there's something wrong with the Word of God here, because it says that those that weren't sold into captivity to every nation were killed by the edge of the sword. And the ones that escaped that fate are the ones that listened to the Messiah and were making preparation to leave and waiting for the sign when it was time to leave. They were the obedient, the followers of the Messiah. They were the true believers. They were the kingdom of God that cometh not with observation. They were the ones that the prophet Joel talked about, said, in the last days your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Were they talking about what the church today calls the Jews? No, that's a kingdom by observation. I can observe them. When they come, you can observe them. They dress differently. They hang out together. They go to a synagogue, they're definitely observable. And it cometh not with observation, and they were sold into captivity or slain by the sword. That's the word I get. No, the kingdom of God, those are not God's chosen people. God's chosen people are those that enter into His kingdom. We are His chosen people. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Because He knew. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His only begotten Son. We are His chosen people if we are living in His kingdom, if we seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness, if the true desire of our heart is to live a life that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father, then we are His chosen people. And we join the throng of His chosen people from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve, who chose to live a life of righteousness, who chose to look forward to the Messiah. And by their own testimony, we have that there in Genesis. And everyone who believed after them, we have the testimony of Noah. And everyone in the line up to Noah. Because Noah was perfect in his generations. See, because the Messiah would come through a seed line of faith, of true believers. Because it didn't come through Jews, because there was no Jews up to Noah's time. Abraham wasn't a Jew, because there was no such thing as a Jew. Abraham was a Hebrew from Heber. His father was an idol worshiper. Anyway, we'll continue here and chapter 3. We've made it all the way to chapter 3, so we'll pick up there in our narrative from our good friend Luke, who continues his chronicle from the Gospel of Luke and now the Acts of the Apostles. It says in chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So they brought this man up there, and apparently whoever brought him up there wasn't providing for him, so he had to go beg alms at the temple. And Peter, he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple and asked an alms of them. Alms for the poor, you know, whatever, however he said it. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Yahshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So this guy, you know, he had his place for who knows how many years, sitting at the gate called Beautiful of the temple. And, you know, you go by there a couple hundred times and see the same guy there, you take notice. And, of course, those people say he was faking. Well, why did he stop faking then, you know? If he was counting on that for a living, and he was doing that for so many years, why would he suddenly stop faking and get up and start leaping and jumping for joy? And, you know, there are people that do fake ailments, and I feel sorry for them, because usually whatever it was that they're faking overtakes them. So, what a pitiful way to go when I think about something like that. Yes, I would rather fake good health. Sometimes when things don't seem to be working right, I try, if my knee hurts, I try to walk as straight as I can, you know, I try not to draw. I would rather fake being well than fake for sympathy being ill. So he's leaping and he jumps up, he's leaping and walking and praising God in verse 9 here. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered it to the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though we, by our own power or holiness, has made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Yahshua, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And when Peter's saying, "We are witnesses," he's just talking about himself and John. He knows there's some out there in the crowd that saw Yahshua, and some would never even believe, though they saw, though one rose from the dead. Isn't that what the Messiah expressed when he told us about the rich man and Lazarus? They wouldn't believe even if they saw someone rise from the dead. They're out there. Most people would know, they wouldn't believe, regardless of people being healed, notable miracles, because they loved unrighteousness. They loved mammon. They can't serve two masters. It wouldn't matter how many miracles they saw. Miracles are not for the unrighteousness, but for the righteous to believe. They are to authenticate a message. And that's all they're for. You know, all of us have someone in our family. We know someone that is ill or perhaps lame or was born retarded. You know, I have a son that was damaged, that was harmed during birth, and he's retarded, deprived of oxygen, brain damaged. Man, I would like a miracle. Yeah, we all know someone. But I believe already. I don't need a miracle. It'd be nice. But I can accept the fact. I believe that my retarded son, who is an adult now, that someday I'll be able to sit down and have long conversations. He will be as whole. He will be more whole than I am now. You know, and when I think about it and I meditate on it, which I do occasionally, because I have occasion to, where most people probably don't, I think that we are all retarded. Think about that for a minute. You may think you're intelligent. You know, and I think, you know, I'm probably more intelligent than most people on the planet, and And you may think that's arrogant, but you know, we probably all think that to some degree, and perhaps some of us know that we're not more intelligent than most people on the planet. That this probably, you know, I'm probably fairly mediocre as far as intelligence goes. You know, I'm probably up there in the 50 percentile, maybe a little bit more. I don't know. I would like to think so, but on the scale of, say, Adam, on the day he was created. On the scale of, say, the Messiah, you know, let's say the scale is 10 inches, and I'd say the most intelligent, well, maybe we'd put, you know, what's the guy's name? I'm not going to say Einstein, because a lot of people think of him as intelligent. Perhaps he is, I don't know, didn't know the man. The most intelligent among us, the geniuses, you know, perhaps we'd give him a quarter inch on the scale of 10 inches, and we're, and then see, and then all of us are somewhere between that quarter inch and you know, a hundredth or fraction of an inch, you know, and that's where we're all at on the scale of the potential of the brain of mankind. And even these men that are the geniuses among us that only use a quarter percent, I mean, one quarter, or say, 5 to 10% of her brain capacity, and they're using all of that, and they're thought to be geniuses among us. They have come to the conclusion that we don't use 90% of our brain, that we have this huge brain capacity which we cannot use. But you know, I think Adam used it because he was created with it. I think it's part of the limitations that our Heavenly Father has put on mankind, that we can't use 100% brain capacity because man can't be trusted with the wonder and the full capacity that God created man to have. Man, because of sin, cannot be trusted with it. And that's why that the brain capacity was reduced. Corruption came in, and part of that corruption was that reduced brain capacity. That's the conclusion I've come to. So, you know what? Although I may be able to function far greater than, say, some retard out there like my son, and I don't say that as a slander or a slur. It's just a fact that he's retarded. That means he's just behind. Retarded simply means that he's late. You want to take the word apart, that he's behind. And he's such that he'll never catch up, barring a miracle. But we're all retarded when we compare ourselves to what God meant for us to be. And when we compare ourselves to what we will be when we are like him, we are all retarded. So that's the conclusion I've come to. And it's just some of us are more retarded than others, okay? So miracles, going to miracles. But I believe in someday that we will all be like him and none of us will be retarded. That's part of the promise. And since my son, who is incompetent, is under my covering, according to the law of God, he goes with me. And so he will be healed, he will be whole, he will be more whole than I am today. As the scripture says, that we will know even as we are also known. Let's continue. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the God of our fathers has glorified his Son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So it was obvious to everyone that Pilate determined to let the Messiah go. So we have a record, and it's correct, and it is verified here by the voice of Peter and recorded by our friend Luke in his Acts of the Apostles. But he says, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted. You killed the Prince of Life, who God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in the name in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Yes, this miracle has happened by the name of the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it. He said, and I recognize that wot or wot in the Old English means I recognize, I understand that through ignorance you did it. You handed over the Messiah and had him put to death. You were egged on by a throng of evil to let Barabbas go and see the Holy One of Israel put to death, even though Pilate desired to let him go, as did also your rulers, he continues. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Messiah should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Man, he's letting them off easy. He's saying, hey, look, this was God's plan from the beginning. And it was. And he says, he calls them now to repent. He says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So you see, every calling to repentance is voluntary. Repent ye, therefore. There is no force. No one is forced into the kingdom of God. There is force to keep those out who will not repent. They can't come in. You cannot come in unless you repent and you seek His righteousness. You voluntarily submit to the law of God. That's what it means to seek His righteousness. What is right in the sight of God? What is the law of the kingdom? Let me keep it. I want to be a good citizen in heaven. So let me follow the law of heaven. You know, you want to be a good citizen in America? Then you follow the law of America. You want to be a good citizen in Mexico? Then you follow the laws of Mexico. Whatever country, whatever nation, whatever kingdom you enter into, you want to be a good citizen of that kingdom? Then you obey the laws of that kingdom. So it is with the kingdom of heaven. You want to be a good citizen? You want to please the King of heaven? Then you obey the laws of the kingdom of heaven. And He's given us a book with laws. No, He doesn't have a legislature up there earning $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year with guaranteed riches and pensions for the rest of their life to write new laws every year and millions upon laws, continually laying heavy burdens on His citizens. No, they lie. When they say that the law of God is a heavy burden, they lie. The heavy burden is in the kingdoms of men. They make criminals out of all of us in their kingdoms. And then they say ignorance is no excuse when you can't even know all their laws and they change. But the law of God is not like that. It is not a heavy burden. You can hold the book in your hand. You can read it. You can know it. You can read the case law that's in it to understand it. When it says thou shalt not kill, it gives you case law. It's where we get our justice system, that the one of those lamb-like principles that this nation was found upon, that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. You got to prove the case. Was it murder? Was it self-defense? Was it an accident? The case law is in the scripture to tell you what kind of killing is unlawful and what kind of killing is justified, what kind of killing is accidental. It's all there. That's what the Bible's about. These idiot atheists and skeptics who say, all you read is the Bible, it's all fantasy. They don't understand anything about the Bible. It's a history book. It's a law book. It's a book of case law. That's what the scripture is. It is so much more. It is the word of life. He says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahuwah. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things. So we have some, well, we have some prophecy rolling off the lips of Peter, recorded here by our good friend Luke in his Acts of the Apostles. Said, whom the heaven must receive, speaking of his ascension, until the times of restitution of all things. And what is the times of the restitution of all things? Well, that's when he comes, when the stone cut without hands becomes a great mountain, when it strikes the image in the feet, the image of the kingdoms of men, the times of the Gentiles, and obliterates it so that it becomes like the chaff of the threshing floor and is blown away so that no place is found for it. And that stone becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth, symbolizing that the kingdom of God will fill the whole earth when Christ returns, the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So, is Yahshua, is Jesus the Messiah, is he like Moses to you, leading you through the wilderness? Oh, yes he is, isn't he? If you belong to him, if you're a follower of his, then he is leading you through a wilderness. This mortality is your wilderness. This life, through the wilderness of the times of the Gentiles, he is leading us through, like Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness. Like unto me, Moses said. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Wow, destroyed from among the people. Let's see, which people is not included in that? Every soul which will not hear Yahshua the Messiah and his word, will not be led through the wilderness of this life by him, they will be destroyed. Well, that's sad. Don't let it be your fate. Cross the border into the kingdom of God. Cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. There's absolutely nothing more important. Well, I'll see you next time on Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. And as always, in everything you say and everything you do, praise his holy name. Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How many know there's rest in the presence of God tonight? That's right. Let's come to him.
I will come to you. You have the words of life. I will come to you. You are the
come to him.